Okay. Now we will continue. So today is the third day. By now, some of you, if you really develop the practice, you should have settled down quite well. Then you can maintain your sitting, your mindfulness. Okay. Now we will open it up for Q&A. 10:30 to 12. Question and answer, come reporting on meditation, followed by a Dhamma sharing. Okay. I was told there are papers available for you to write your question if you are shy. So far, any question? No written question. God, where is the written question? Any written question? Anybody who has written any question? Nobody? Oh, it's blank. The paper at the back. If you are shy, you take them back and write your question. Never mind. If there's a case, then we open it up to the floor. Anybody wants to report the meditation and ask question, you can. The mic is with Joyce. Anybody? Yeah. Yes.
Brother Teo.
Okay.
I want to check with you about this. When we are sitting and the mind become very kind of quiet.
Yeah. Very good.
But it's like I'm scared that I didn't breathe. You know?
Okay, never mind. Fair enough. Yeah.
So you got fear,
you are not breathing. So you need to trace the origination factor.
So I breathe.
How does this thought come about? Understand? That's why I say when you silent, you will understand. Because you are silent for a while. Then the thought come through the back door and create fear for you. What did the thought tell you? How come there is fear? Is it you are not breathing, you may die? Understand? Who say that? The thought, understand? Have you died? You are still meditating. Those who go into cessation, no heartbeat also. Yet they don't die, they just come back. Understand? So don't ever allow the thought to interfere. Just relax and tell yourself, if I'm sincere, the way will be there. Everything that happened is part of the way. The reason being the thought has power is because thought is fearful of the unknown. Understand not? And thought doesn't want to die. So if thought doesn't want to die, what does thought do? Thought tell you not to do. You are not breathing already. Then you got fear. Then when you got fear, is one of the hindrance of mind through delusion. So when the hindrance come in, you will lose your peace. You will lose your sadness. Can follow? So after that, you got certain question. What is your question?
After that, I breathe harder.
Oh, okay. It's good. You should report all this so that people can share your experience. So when you breathe harder, what happened? You are not natural already. Oh, what happened?
My heart beat faster.
Faster already, see? It's like that. It's like something that went into the mind. It's just like suddenly something came through your sense door, that you hear something. Then when you got anxiety, or in Cantonese they call gan chong, so what happened? Your heartbeat start to beat faster, or you got fear, worry, and all things. So this is how thought has power over you, understand? Thought can trigger off all this mind state. It can trigger off fear, insecurity. But all these are wrong thought, negative state, negative energy field. It will make you weak, understand? The vibration is negative. It can even cause your immune system to go down. You have a lot of this type of fear, worry, anxiety. That's how people become depressed. But if it's only once a while, it's okay. So what you need to arise is the opposite, wholesome thought. What are wholesome thought? Wholesome thought are thought give rise to the inner peace, inner calmness, inner well-being, like when you radiate metta. Then when you experience subtleness of mind, peacefulness of mind, but because you are not silent enough, you cannot feel the effect. Otherwise, you can feel the effect. It's so soothingly calm, so still. Understand? Sian, I need you to help. It's a bit loud. The echo is coming. Okay. Okay, good. Thanks. Okay. You can follow, because thought has this power, because your view is still not straightened up yet. I think need to tune the volume down a bit, slightly down a bit. Oh, it's okay. There is echo. Just reduce it a bit. See there. Okay. Thanks. Good. Okay. Because that side complained they can't hear. So certain pages, Gumoy also came and see me this morning, is it? But until you can speak louder or not. Because they cannot find the page. So after the heartbeat faster, what happened? When you try to breathe harder.
Then suddenly it's like you fell into sleep for a while, then you wake up.
Okay. It's okay, good. That's what will happen. Now you understand how your mind functions. You cannot have fear. You must have what? What is the spiritual faculty that you need to counter fear?
Saddha.
Saddha, faith. Where is your saddha? You don't trust the Buddha. You trust your thought. And that thought is so cunning. Come through the back door. Because when you go into this peaceful and tranquil, quiet state, it's a good sign. Like I said, if you go for a retreat, you have the proper understanding. You will settle down very fast. Even those who do energy field, samatha, or just focusing, concentrating, or repetitive type of thought-based meditation, they can also make their mind peaceful, and they can settle down very fast. But the trouble is, they cannot reach the very subtle mind. Only after a long time after meditation, then only they can reach the quiet, still mind. And that one is a conditioned mind in energy field, jhana, and other things. It's not a normal quiet mind like what she went through. Quiet mind is good because when you start to silent, relax, just like what Lily reported. Remember? She said there was clarity. She can feel her heartbeat. She can hear my voice. She can hear Sister Engby's reporting. The drum, everything. There was clarity. Yeah? The mind is already silent in sati. But I say, not silent enough. He says he can hear her heartbeat pounding very clearly. I say, you feel, stay there. then find out and tell me what happened later. Ah, then she, the next session, she got it. She said, very good. The heartbeat started to slow down until very quiet, like no more heartbeat. And that is positive. Then stay there. That's why when it become very subtle, it's a good sign. So then why did your thought come out? It's because fear of the unknown, understand? Then human being is very, very gullible. Straight away, ayo, I'm not breathing. Am I dead? Or will it cause me to go into the unconscious and I can die? So that fear will disrupt the spiritual faculty, understand? Because your faith no more. You know, fear lead to what? Worry, anxiety, restlessness. That's why the mind agitated. Then you try to breathe harder. Means what? You want to make sure your breath come back. That's how that you are alive. Who is doing all this? That's why I say thought-based meditation. The thought will come and interfere your meditation and do all this. Why can't you just let it be? Understand not? It's actually a good sign of progress. It's a good state of mind that you have been into. Can you understand? So next time, don't go and allow this thought to dominate over you. Understand? Yeah, very good experience. I rejoice. Sadhu to you. You see, when you don't understand, you don't report, you don't know what happened, then you miss the thing. Because it's very good experience, actually. But if you have got this understanding, then there is no fear. Understand? There are some people also very funny. They go and develop the meditation until their consciousness reach the state of formless, arupa. Then all of a sudden they feel that their body don't exist. No? And then there is fear, no panic. No? How come my body disappear? The thought come in again. That's why thought is very powerful. That's why I say don't try to know. Silent, just do. Okay? Any more question or reporting? Any more? Can. Past experience also can. Very good.
It was, I think last year I went to a retreat, and then it was almost the 6 days. Then when I was sitting, I found that I feel that because it's quite hot in the afternoon, and then I found that my...
Your whole body quite hot, is it?
No, my pores is like breathing.
Oh, okay. Your bodily pores, from your body. Okay.
Like you can feel air coming in and out from the pores.
You don't mind sit over here a bit, I can't see you.
My hand. And then...
From your hair. Hand. Okay. Okay. Like it's very hot.
Heat. I know. Heat
energy.
My ear also a lot of heat coming out.
Okay.
And normally when I'm sitting, I feel a lot of heat.
I know. That's all. You want to just describe what happened, then you want to understand. Correct? I need to ask you another question. What were you doing before this thing happened? Are you concentrating or focusing on something? At that retreat last time?
I was... Actually, for the past few days, I was...
No, at that retreat. At that retreat, you said on the 6th day, before this heat happened, what was you doing? What was your meditation like? How did you go into that state?
I was sitting, because that retreat, because we are training, open our eye to meditate, we don't close.
Is it dynamic meditation? Hand movement?
No.
Then what you do? Open your eye to do what?
Breathe in, breathe out.
Then?
Then suddenly I feel, why got air coming up? I wash my hand.
Yeah.
I didn't see
that is on the sixth day. Is your breathing continuous that time, mindfulness? Is it continuous? Very strong. Means you are fully aware of the breathing. Ah, very good. Sadhu. Actually, you have done it before, but you cannot understand because this form of mind is new. This line, but you will connect. Not long, you will connect. You have to understand because form of mind is karmically conditional. So this form of mind got no memory of what you do in the past. Understand not? Unless there is condition to trigger off. So what happened is you have not connected. Your nature cannot tell you what happened in the past. Because you need to connect to inherit your spiritual understanding. So during this time, whatever you have done before, if you have the condition, then it will manifest. So very likely in the past you have done anapanasati before. But that one he teach you open your eye and focus on the breathing. So did you really focus around your nostril area? No, you are fully with the breathing, the whole movement, just aware, in and out. It's not in absorption. Okay, good. If that is the case, it's continuous mindfulness. So when continuous mindfulness happens, energy will build up, understand? Because you don't know how to use it. You don't know how to channel it. You don't know how to release it. So it will develop into some form of absorption. But certain people, it will create heat energy. Understand? Because when you do this, this continuous mindfulness can actually be a condition for internal energy movement. So when it happens, it will trigger off certain type of what they call nadis or gland. They got yin and yang one. So normally lady is yin, cool, or feminine. Then the yang energy is the male one, strong one. So this heat is from the yang energy. So when it arises, that's why she is so mindful, she can see from the pores like heat coming out, understand? Vapor coming out. It's not imagining, you know. Really come out, and then from the ear and all that. So whichever that need to release heat, it will release. If you know how to balance it, then it is no problem. But if you don't know how to balance it, then this yin yang will manifest. So in meditation, whenever this thing happens, you just silence your mind and continue to relax into it. Don't allow the energy to build up too strong because you have not developed the understanding to channel the energy. You can only channel the energy when you already develop the ability to connect to your nature. Then it will melt inside. But for most of the cultivator or meditator, they will go into energy field where there is no way they can release the energy. So what they do is they build it up. Then they go into casino. You know what is casino? You heard of casino, the 10 type of meditation object, the 10 casino. They got light casino, various type of lights. Then they got the 4 element casino, water element, heat element, then patavi, earth element, then vayu, wind element. So when they meditate on element, actually, this one will build up more energy that it will go into psychic field. Because they got no other way to release it. Then certain monks, they use it to radiate loving kindness. Compassion, they radiate. That one is good. If you use it and radiate, your heart will open up. Then when your heart open up, later they will connect to the nature also. That's why meditation is about opening up the heart area. The heart is where your gateway to your nature is. The heart is also the seat of consciousness. The life force, everything from the heart, it starts, it pounds. This is also where your heartbeat is. Your heartbeat is the karmic life force, supportive karma that comes and bows. Then the gateway is somewhere near there, towards the left. Then you need to completely silent to detect it. So if you go from metta and loving kindness, then you can. Then if you do anapanasati, if you know how to breathe, which I did before last time, because I got one teacher who know how to connect. Yeah? Anapanasati means from your breath energy, yeah? You connect to your heart area, the heart energy. Then this heart open up. Yeah. Then there is another one, which is the gateway. The gateway, you need to completely silence your mind. Yeah. So when you use your breath, it's actually from your thought energy, understand? Of course, there is some form of mindfulness. So the consciousness from your head, the brain there, this area of consciousness, they are separated from your heart. But anapanasati can combine. So when you are able to connect the two areas of consciousness, you already very, very advanced in your meditation. You already very special. But not necessary wisdom-wise. If you don't have the Dhamma, you can end up in occult field or psychic field. Two areas of consciousness is very powerful already. Most of them is one area of consciousness. They use the head chakra or the third eye. And so that one, when you train it very well, you already very powerful, psychic or calm. But you can combine two areas of consciousness, you are even more powerful. But the best one is the gateway. My last guide pointed out to me where the gateway was. Then because I already know how to relax, aware, and 24-hour mindfulness, that's why I straight away understand what that thing is, and I went in on my own. And I understood completely what that thing is. Then that gateway very funny, you know. It is the neutral point, trust, no thought one. The three areas of consciousness, one is from your forehead, one is from your heart, the other one is from your tan tien. All these three will melt inside there. Then whatever meditation energy that you have developed and built up, they will also melt inside there. Then whatever that went through the gateway become pure energy. That's why that pure energy is balanced. No yin, no yang. And because it is balanced, you don't have all this heat and all those problems. That's why that type of meditation is very neutral. Then that one has a lot of clarity. Fully aware. When the three areas of consciousness come together, you become complete, whole. Then you can understand things very fast. Because that one, the direct seeing is very clear, very powerful. So when you have that, your daily mindfulness is very easy. You will be able to do it in a relatively much easier manner. It's just like what Lily went through. If she continued to silent and not long, stabilize that, then in the daily life, she also can carry that. And then her mindfulness become more and more stable. More. Then she need to relax more in the form of meditation to detect that gateway. It's somewhere on the slight left of your heart. Slight 1 inch or 1.5 inch away. It's not everybody same location. Don't go and measure. Forget about it. Because if your mind is not completely silent, no thought, it cannot go in on. It cannot go in on. You must have enough wisdom, then completely silent, then it will detect by itself. So all this is what the training is all about, the meditation is all about. But these are later part, not now, so you don't worry. To reach there, it will take you a while. But initially, just develop heedfulness, mindfulness. That one is more important. So that experience that come, the heat, all those things, after that, did you panic? Any fear?
It's not to say panic or not, it's like surprise.
Oh, surprise you. So you think it's fun, huh? It's okay. If there is no fear, then it's good. So what you can do is, you just understand that these are energy field. It has built up. You can experience it, no problem. But more important is, you recall the focus. Now that you understand what meditation is, why are you doing all this thing in the name of meditation? It's to develop sati, to stabilize it, isn't it? Krena. So now you have developed sati, mindfulness, that's how you can follow. After the 6th day, you stabilize, then the energy build up. Then what happens is, you need to relax into it. Relax and maintain awareness, that's it. Don't try to know anything. Then sustain this for as long as you can. And then after a while, you realize that breathing all will become more and more subtle. Then you will experience like what you experienced just now. Everything become very quiet, very quiet, very quiet, until like no more movement. Even the anapanasati, like no more movement. Actually, there is movement, but very subtle. And you cannot detect because your sati, your mindfulness is not high enough, not refined enough. So to make that sati refined, you need to completely silent. That's why the real meditation is no more doing, silent. No thought, no interfering, just silent. You remember just now, appendix 6? Now we can turn to appendix 6. Page 171. Important advice to meditator. The first advice is what? Read out, you all read out, so that it will go in. Girl, you have the mic, you read out. Then the rest follow.
Important advice to meditators. Number one, don't try to know anything during meditation.
Get that clearly understood. Don't try to know anything. Then the thought got no power, understand? Who want to know? The thought want to know, understand? Because knowing is a knowledge, is from the thought. Then the second one is what? Read.
Just silence the mind and let things be.
What is the meaning of let things be? Don't interfere, understand? Accept the reality of whatever happened, part of the way. Then?
The understanding will arise on its own.
See, when you are silent, the wisdom, the awakening will come on its own. Not through the thought, understand? Not through the thought that say, oh, this is anicchang. This is what the Buddha meant by anicchang, dukkang, anatta. Oh, I saw the 3 characteristics, I insight. Then like one lady told me, that I know this body not me, I can feel nobody inside. It's not like that one, understand? That one is still the thought. The thought cannot understand. But when you inside, no word one. Then all of a sudden, that nature understand. Yeah. Really. Thing is just the way it is. Condition arising, cause of phenomena. No such thing as a permanent, unchanging entity that I can hold on to, cling on to, and grasp on to. That insight is very clear one, not from knowledge one. All of a sudden you understand. Then you realize all phenomena is like that, not only your form and mind. Everything that arises, because supported by condition, they will come to be. Then they will cease to be when condition cease to be. Then you start to see everything arise and disappear, arise and disappear. Some take longer, some shorter, some very fast, spontaneously within the meditation. Then when you are aware, mindful, you start to see within your whole body, everything is having the characteristics of impermanence, suffering state and non-self. You see your heartbeat, your pulse, your whatever that have vibration inside. Everywhere is vibrating. We call it born, die, birth and death, coming and going, the in and out breath. Then even when you walk, you all walk, you all know lifting. No, I walk silent. Then I saw the birth and death of the footstep. Understand now? How through mental conditioning, this foot arise. Then that phenomena arise. Then it exists. Then it ceases. Understand now? The birth and death of that footstep. That's how you see everything is also like that. Understand now? But when you are mindful, your mindfulness is anchored to the body. Then as you walk, the body aware. That's why after that you can see the physical movement. The Buddha called it a physical phenomena. So physical phenomena, there are conditions arising. No condition, the body won't walk. Understand? Got condition, then the body walk. So when it walk, it create the phenomena of that leg movement. Then every arising will lead to a ceasing. Then another one arise, another one cease. Then you look around, everything is like that. But the insight, when it happens, it will link to all phenomena. Then you suddenly like understood the whole universe is like that. And then very clear one inside there. No thought, no nothing on. The moment you awaken, there is this joy inside. Amazingly, like you feel very, 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 very happy. Oh, it's just like that. A lot of people use the word aha. like suddenly you awaken. That's why Mahayana, this is sudden enlightenment. It's not sudden. We have the condition are there. Then suddenly that true mind, the silent mind, awaken to phenomena. Then from there, all of Dhamma is suddenly understood. Some went into cessation. Some just hear the breaking of the cup, just like Xu Yin Lao He Sang. The moment he heard the crack sound, even like Ajahn Chah, straight away the mind went into cessation. He said like space pulverized. Then Ajahn Chah one is the mind went in. The whole thing went in. Just like Eckhart Tolle. Then after that, suddenly when it come out, everything is understood. So meditation, different people go through different ways and different conditions. So what you need is to understand clearly what is meditation so that you will not be deluded, you will not be gullible. So these three advice is very important. The first two you have gone through. Don't try to know anything during meditation. Just silence your mind and let things be. Then the understanding will arise on its own. You must trust. Otherwise, you keep on using your thought. You ask yourself one question. If I use thought, the instrument limit me. I cannot realize the enlightenment that the Buddha mentioned under the salutation to the Dhamma. He said, this Dhamma is akaliko, beyond thought, beyond time. So how can thought realize a state that is beyond thought? Impossible. That's why don't use thought, silent. And then you will awaken to the Dhamma that is beyond thought, beyond time. Here time means psychological time, mental time. When your activity of mind start, there is psychological time, mental time, thinking. So timeless, akaliko means no thinking, no psychological time. So that's how meditation can have its result. Okay? And read that third one here.
Number three. The moment you are truly silent and relaxed, sati is already there. This is the silent mind that can investigate into all phenomena. Then let the phenomenon tell you the story. Don't go and look for the story with your thoughts or Dharma knowledge.
So this one clear, very clear now. Because a lot of people meditate without understanding. You must understand, the moment the mundane mind is silent, your true mind will shine forth, understand? Because when that mundane mind, thinking mind, is actively thinking and heedlessly doing all these things, it clouds that true mind, understand? Then you are lost in thought. Can follow now? So the moment that mundane mind is silent, the moment you are silent and relaxed, you already aware, the true mind already there, understand? That's why that awareness is before the knowing, that you can see things as they are. So don't be foolish. Don't go and try to be aware. Who is trying? The thought is trying. When thought is active, how can you be aware? When thought is active, labeling and doing all those funny things, then it creates more thought. Then how can you be silent? If you are not silent, how can the awareness come forth? When your mind is not silent, it's preoccupied with what? Something else, understand? With the thinking, with the emotion, with the reaction, with the stirring, with the story. Then you get deluded by it, then it conditions fear, worry, anxiety. That's why the hindrance keep on coming out. Then you want to be mindful. With the hindrance, how can you be mindful? It will hinder your mind from becoming peaceful and mindful. So understand this. Then meditation very simple. Just let things be silent. And then you're aware already. That's why I walk naturally, bow naturally, do everything naturally until the mindfulness comes. You will know, the form and mind will know. It's like swimming. When you know how to swim, you know what swimming is, no need words already. You can use words to describe, but you really understand, oh, I'm very fun now. You really can float one now, you tell people, because you experience it, understand? So the silent mind is the same. Yeah, when I just silent the mundane mind, then I fully aware. I can tell you that, but you don't believe, you cannot do it. You never go into the pool and try to swim like swimming. But the moment you went in, you may make mistake, you may drink some water, then get into trouble. But slowly you have faith because you see other people can swim. Or then you try to develop the faith. Then you also try. Then one day you're very brave. Or you try. Then the body sink. Then the buoyancy push it up. Then the faith there. The confidence is there. It's just like when you investigate the Dhamma. All the Dhamma Pada words that the Buddha taught. And the essential teaching. When it stand up to investigation, it's like you experience the flotation in the pool. Then you got a lot of confidence in the Buddha and his teaching. Then your virya and sadha become very strong. That's how you build it up. So meditation is the same. Okay? So these three advice are very important. Yes.
At this point, do you tie in with investigate, contemplate, and reflect? Because then you are stable.
Yeah, I understand. Yeah, this one is for formal meditation and mindfulness meditation. Understand not? That's why the word is meditation. But when you are contemplating and reflecting, that one is not the formal meditation and mindfulness meditation. That one is the second turning. Understand not? Second turning is you reflect, contemplate. There is some form of thinking. But that thought is just to like create a condition for the mind to understand. Like you throw it up. Why did the Buddha say this? That this noble truth of suffering is to be understood. The second turning of the first noble truth. The inquiry comes from this. There is word. Understand? Why did the Buddha say this? And then you let it hang there. And this is the driving essential Dhamma. You want to understand. So when you want to understand, the mind that is silent and creative, it will try to recall what happened in life. And then when you recall, hey, yeah, all this suffering, when it happened to you, because you're never aware, understand? And you never really understood. Understood means what? You know that this is suffering. That is the first thing. Then you know the cause behind is arising. That is the second understanding. Then the third one is because you have the Dhamma, you know that this suffering need not be. Cessation of suffering is possible. Then finally, when you cultivate Noble Eightfold Path, it will lead to the end of all suffering. And when you have done all these four, then what the Buddha meant under the third turning is, this noble truth of suffering has already been understood. Before you understand the second turning, say, this noble truth of dukkha is to be understood. So how to understand? You have to reflect on it, isn't it? Why did the Buddha say birth is suffering? Old age, sickness and death is suffering. Separation from loved one is suffering. Or choice possession. Not able to get what one desire is suffering. When you are with people whom you don't like is suffering. Then in short, he said, your delusion, self-delusion, the condition you to grasp and cling and hold on to this five aggregate of form and mind is suffering. One by one you reflect. Yeah. Then when you reflect on birth, because that is the driving force, isn't it? A lady, very easy. Huh? Those who already married, give birth before. You recall the whole process. Then you realize what the Buddha meant by suffering. Understand? To conceive a baby, actually you go through 9 to 10 months of pregnancy. And there's a lot of moment of suffering. Understand? Not to say during birth. Birth, of course, is very painful for most people. The first 1 or 2 months, you got morning sickness, isn't it? Understand? There are a lot of things you want to eat, you cannot eat. Then, in between, your movement are impaired because of the pregnancy. So then you have to be very careful. Then, in between, don't ask me how I know, because my wife tell me. Then he asked me to feel the stomach, how the baby fetus inside, they kick her. Then you can see the stomach there, like something swell up. Then go down. Very interesting. So you see how they actually sacrifice to carry you for 10 months. That's why the mother's love is the greatest love. You must have respect for your mother. They sacrifice a lot for you. They give you life. And they carry you for 10 months, you know, with all the endurance and the suffering. So this is what they had gone through. So this is to build gratitude towards your parent. Then for the parent is to understand that this is really suffering, but be out of love you can endure them, understand? Because you are carrying your own baby, understand? Then as you go through the birth process, you start to recall how certain type of birth with complication really is quite traumatic inside there. Sometimes you go to the hospital near the maternity ward. Or you can hear a lot of story about how people inside there. Oh, I say that type of pain was terrible. Then nowadays they put you under anesthesia or what? Then they do cesarean easier. But either way, it's not easy. But after that, you have to allow it to heal. Understand? Then during that time, you are very tired. The mother is very tired. Then the baby is so small, you have to look at it. Then if there's any complication, there is suffering. Then you start to realize, hey, the Buddha is very wise. This is really suffering. So birth, you understand already. Old age. If you are still young, then you look at your parents. If your parents still not so old, look at your grandparents or your friend's grandparents. Then you start to hear how they complain and how they are what they call physical body. As you age, the physical body also have problem. It tend to have more sickness and disease. Understand? And the senses and the organ, one by one, they start to fail you. Like my elder brother, he make a joke. Is it? People ask him, hey, your father passed away, you inherit a lot. He said, yeah, I inherit a lot. I inherit all his diabetic, his heart problem. So that was the joke. You definitely inherit. As you age, you will be like him. So Life is like that. You need to confront them. That's why in my seminar paper, you remember, I say, as long as you live long enough, you will have to confront all this first noble truth, reality of life and existence. And they lead to suffering if you don't have wisdom. That's why you need to reflect and contemplate, just like the five daily contemplation. The five daily contemplation is very basic, asana. This body of mine is of the nature to grow old, disease, and die. Just like that. Very basic. But the detail of it, you never find out. The three turning of the Four Noble Truths, the Buddha give you all the detail. Then you go through, is it birth, is suffering, old age, sickness, and death. And then you second turning, reflect and connect. Then you understand clearly, deeply, why birth is suffering, why getting old is suffering, why getting sick and disease is suffering. You feel it. Next time when you are sick, or you have problem with health, and that is the time to learn the second turning. This noble truth of dukkha is to be understood. You understand it, then you feel, then you experience it. If you cannot accept that reality and don't know what to do, then you suffer, you become miserable, you complain, you react. That's why I say you got two choices. The other one is to accept that reality, but not only you, no. The whole universe, all the beings who go through life have to experience this reality. So the difference between the wise and the heedless or the deluded is the wise don't suffer. They accept this reality and they endure and they move on. They do what they have to do. Understand not? That's why this contemplation and reflection can give you a lot of understanding and wisdom. This second turning wisdom is very powerful. That as you develop more and more of this, you straighten your view, then you know how to apply Sabba Asavak Sutta. Certain type of defilement you need to endure, remember? You endure. Understand? We are conditioned like that. This form goes the way of nature. It has not gone beyond. So you will experience. Then after that, you got a lot of gratitude and contentment. You know why? The moment you are not sick, in perfect health, you are very, very happy and you got a lot of gratitude for your good karma. That's why I always feel a lot of gratitude when my health, actually at this age, I consider I'm very lucky. I don't have any issue with health. My blood test come out all very nice, very good. Although I inherit my parents' diabetic type 2. But because modern medication, they gave me a diabetic drug. And now very good, the diabetic drug. You don't go into the two extreme. They call what? Hypo. Because last time the drug, because the research, R&D, not so good. So last time the diabetic drug, the moment you eat, they will release insulin. That one, then they don't care whether your sugar level is high or low. They just process. Then sometimes you don't have enough food. It makes you hypo. But now the new drug are very good. You take already. If your sugar level high, they will release. Then when your sugar level reach certain level, stop. It won't release anymore. And then the drug just, you just pass motion. Now the drug very good. So I don't have hypo and all those things for the last 2 years after I did my, Then there's a lot of other things that you can learn from Dhamma. That's why the form and mind will appreciate. That's why you remember the Buddha said, what is the highest happiness? No, contentment is the highest wealth. Anasana. The highest happiness is what? Health. When you have good health, you're very happy. Anasana. Nothing can be better than having good health. Anasana. The other thing can make you happy for a while. Anasana. But when you don't have the health, I tell you, your whole life is, unless you have the Dhamma, anasana, you will become miserable. That's why the Buddha answer people very differently. They always ask him, what is the highest wealth? His answer is contentment. No? You agree or not? Do you agree? Why? Why contentment highest wealth? You are not rich. Contentment, how can it be highest wealth? Because when you are contented, you don't desire anymore. That's why you're already wealthy. But the rich guy still got a lot of desire for money. That's why they are not rich, because they still want. When you are contented, you are actually already very wealthy, because you are happy with what you have. So Dhamma comes in a very handy way, good way, for you to understand life, so that you know how to live. That's why all this contemplation, the question by Sue is very good. Contemplation, you don't follow this law. Don't go and do, Brother Teo say, don't try to know. But I say during meditation, I never say during contemplation. Then you go and argue with people. Brother Teo say, don't try to know. Why you want to know so much? You go and argue. That's why you must get the instruction correct. We should thank Sue for asking, otherwise very confusing. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Because she got a very good point. She said, when I contemplate, how can I not know? Contemplation is the creative mind arising, some form of thought. That's why you recall through memory. Because the inquiry comes from that question that you throw out. Why did the Buddha say this? How can I understand what he said? So the second turning wisdom is like that. You have to inquire. First noble truth, the Buddha proclaimed that this eight reality is the cause of suffering before you have the wisdom. And it explained to you the realities of life and existence. He said, there are eight realities in this world that can give rise to suffering if you don't have the wisdom. And these are the realities of life and existence. So the eight reality, every human being has to go through. You have to experience them. So birth, old age, sickness and death, you know, everybody have to confront. Then when you come out into life, you will experience separation from your loved ones, separation from your property, your wealth, things that you hold on to dearly. And separation can happen in many ways. Relationship failure happen, divorce, or forced separation when you are young because of poverty. Then death. Death can also bring about separation, sometimes due to nature's disaster, like tsunami, earthquake, building collapse, accident. Nowadays, snatch thief also can bring about all those things. So these are the realities that living being has to confront. And if you don't have the Dhamma, the understanding, before you confront them, the Buddha said, suffering will arise. That's why the Buddha said the world is full of suffering, prevalent of suffering. But the Buddha never said life is suffering. Don't get it wrong. A lot of Buddhists, I was very shocked. They always tell me first noble truth. The answer at the back always, life is suffering. The Buddha never said that. The Buddha said in this universe, in the midst of existence and life, there is a lot of suffering, prevalent of suffering. And last night, Sui An told me also the same thing. He said, a lot of suffering. Everybody, everywhere suffer. Especially at JBA, a lot of people go and see them. Without problem, they don't go and see them. Then the TCM also help out, because they want health issue and all those things. But there are a lot of other issues. And all are linked to the First Noble Truth reality. That's why this teaching is very powerful. The First Noble Truth explains to you the reality of life and existence, the whole of life, mundane. Then not only he explained to you this reality, he said, if you are not prepared to, with the wisdom to confront them, suffering will be the result. You cannot run, is it? And the cause of suffering, he explained to you, why you become like that. Because you deludedly think you exist. The five aggregate form and mind, you attach, you cling, you grasp. So this self-delusion, he said, will condition you to grasp and cling and hold on to this five aggregate of form and mind. That's how you become afflicted, miserable. That's how the evil root comes about, where you think you exist. Then you can own things, possess things. That's why you got selfishness, you got craving, you got desire, you got lust. Then when you are not happy, you can become emotional, very, very negative or very angry. So the evil root of hatred come about. You can develop envy, jealousy, everything. Then because you think you exist, when things don't go your way, you develop unhappiness. Then when there is something that you cannot deal with, you got fear, you got worry, you got anxiety, and this is delusion. So the three evil roots are so powerful. Because of sakadity, self-delusion, it will condition you to grab and cling. So when you understand that, the Buddha said, if you know what suffering is and the cause behind, you must have the ability to manage your life better, isn't it? If after you already have this Dhamma, you already know the eight reality that it will lead to suffering, and you know the cause behind, you somehow don't want to meditate and develop the wisdom or contemplative wisdom to at least deal with it, then I wish you luck. Then you make that choice and see what happened to you. If you continue to be heedless and don't want to develop the understanding of this beautiful teaching, then there is no way you can come out of it. That's why you will get yourself entangled. And like Brother Sui Han said, suffering is everywhere, prevalence of suffering. Then if you go into the Third Noble Truth, it's like it best. The Buddha say, hey, suffering need not be. There is a Noble Truth that explains to you clearly the enlightenment in the here and the now, cessation of suffering for my mind. Nibbana can be experienced in the here and the now before you die. Then he didn't stop there, no. He didn't promise you and stop there. No. He said you can cultivate and realize this enlightenment, Nibbana, by just cultivating the Noble Eightfold Path. It will lead to the enlightenment and the end of all suffering. Not only for this life, no, eternally. No need to come back. So such a teaching given free, someone don't want to make use of, I don't know what living beings are doing. You ask yourself, your life, you don't value such teaching. And you don't have to pay any money to receive it. You know? Understand? Like, I think Stephanie's brother, he said, "Brother, yeah, this book Asutta is very nice." How much does it cost, is it? Then I told him, originally it was about $14, but because we print quite a number, then the cost, he gave us a very low cost, almost 11 something to $12, I think, if I'm not wrong, according to Padma Suri. Then he asked me, how much does it cost, and how many do we print? I said 300 copies. I said you don't have to worry about the cost because Kayanamita Fund donated free. So all this come free. And you somehow don't know how to treasure it. Somehow don't know how to make use of it. If I were you, I will make haste. I will never turn back. Because this is a very rare opportunity, a very rare window condition. Everything that you need is already there. The last thing that you need is your own hard work, your own diligence. If you don't value your life, then there is nothing much we can do. The Kayanamita has done their best. Whatever they can share and give, they gave. That's why they came and told me, "Brother, your notes are very good. Why don't you compile it?" And when they mentioned that, I knew. I said, "Very good. Okay, we do it." That's how this book come about. You agree on this book? Very well done. Can. To all the Kayanamita that helped do it out and donated it. Because it is one of the best book around, where all the essential Dhamma are there, so clearly explained. You can never find a book that has so much truth in it and so much clarity of understanding in it. So make full use of what you already have. You should thank your own good karma and good affinity for having this condition to receive all this. Okay? So Sue, okay? Any more questions? I got two more here, I think. Somebody passed me, I think Mifeng passed me the written question from. Oh, you translated it. Very good. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you so much. Yeah, good, good, good. Okay, I read the first one. Huh? The first one is this one. Huh? Which is the first one? How come got 8 there? Oh, 7 then 8. Okay, okay.
The first one I made.
It's okay. Okay. Oh, because Mandarin, okay, okay. Oh, the Mandarin one is here. Maybe you read to me the Mandarin. I can understand. Better counter check. very good. Pass the mic to me for.
Hello. Okay. 静坐和禅修有何不同?
Very good.
Second, 静坐是禅修的其中之一吗?
You can understand the question, huh? 静 is silent. 坐 means sit silently. So that's a Mandarin word, very good. Isn't it? Meditation is 静坐, sit silently. Why are you not following that instruction? I didn't know Mandarin word is so good. 静坐. Sit silently. You are not sitting silently. You are sitting with all the thought going all over. And with all the doubt and the question here and there. Then what are you doing? That is not meditation. The Mandarin Mahayana say, 静坐. Silent and sit. Why are you not pulling up? Now you realize how gullible a living being can be. Attend retreat in and out for so many years, yet doesn't know what meditation is. Oh, we have the word vipassana come out, oh, not rising, falling, that is vipassana. You get gullible. It's supposed to be silent, sitting. That's all. Chan siu, you know what is chan siu? Cultivate zen or the dhamma. That's all. Well, chan is a type of meditation. That's all. Siu is cultivate. So Chan is a Zen word. Mahayana. Maybe I write it down. The English word for Zen. The English word for Chan Siu is Zen. In Japan, Japanese, Zazen, understand not? Zazen is Japanese. The Japanese call it Zazen. Then Zen is Chan, that's an English translation. Chan Siu is cultivating Zen. Sitting is a form of meditation, understand not? 静坐. Means you silent, you meditate, formal meditation. Chan Siu means cultivate Zen. Cultivate Zen, you can do it from any method and technique, any direction, as long as you get insight into and develop the wisdom, that is Zen, that is Chan Siu. That's why Chan Siu can be in any way. Chanting. Mahayana, a lot of chanting. They call what? When they walk around and chant. What is the word? 他们那个 Mahayana, chanting 的时候, round for, that is a Zen. So you don't think they just chant like that? This morning was, I think, towards the end, they chant Kuan Sing Pusa. Namo Kuan Sing Pusa. And they repeat. Then the rhythm change a bit. And they walk around mindfully. Understand? And the vibration is very good because it opens up your heart. Just like in the appendix 1, if I'm not wrong, appendix 1. Or either 1 or 2. Is Mahayana chanting meditation? You go and read that one. As long as it can develop the 5 spiritual faculties, it is meditation. Because the chanting is to develop the faith, and that's the Fo Hao, the Buddha's name, or the Bodhisattva's name. So when you recite with understanding, with faith, you develop the faith, and that's all. Then they got their vow, special vow, that can actually help you when you connect with the faith and the affinity. So because of that, the faith will give rise to the virya, spiritual zeal. Then when they chant until no one is chanting, until the Fo Hao and the mindfulness become one, that is sati. That's why they become very mindful. Then when they become very mindful, walking mindful, chanting mindful, doing work, everything mindful. That's why in the Mahayana temple, you sweep, you cut wood, you do everything. Anasana. And that is daily mindfulness. And they give you Kong'an, anasana, which is like contemplative wisdom. Then when you sit also, you can have a Kong'an. Or when you chant, Sei Chai Nian Fo. Nian Fo Su Sui. Who is chanting the Buddha's name? This type of Kong'an can actually awaken you. Anasana. You don't go and think, you go and think cannot. You're silent. Then you continue to chant. Then that driving force, Sei Chai Nian Fo. Then when you chant until the mindfulness and the chanting become one, all of a sudden you awaken. No? There is nobody there chanting. No? Because the mindfulness and the vibration, they become one. When they become one, there is no thought, no egoic mind. Nobody there, understand? Then you realize, everything is empty, kong sing. He know you, he know me, wo. That's why all of a sudden you realize this form of mind is not you, nothing to do with that. The awareness is the awareness. The vibration is the vibration, and the two has become one, it's not separated. Just like Krishnamurti say, when the observer and the observed become one, then who see, who hear, who smell, who taste, who tactile feel and think? Understand? Huh? Who is the observer? Huh? The observer is the thought, isn't it? The thought observed, isn't it? Then it perceives, isn't it? Whatever it perceives and it observes is part of him, isn't it? Part of the thought, isn't it? It's contained inside there, isn't it? That's why the observer is the observed, understand? Huh? It's not separated, not I see, understand? Huh? When you are aware, there is no one, it's just aware before the knowing. Then the thought that come out and labor, you understand. The consciousness and the content zoom, is a thought, understand? Huh? It's not separate, understand? Huh? But human beings go and separate. Then the observer try to deal with the observed, understand or not? Krishnamurti is teaching is the same as the Buddha, but they cannot understand. He said, when I observe anger, what happened? This observer separate himself from anger, understand or not? Then he said, anger is evil root, bad. Then what he do? He want to control, suppress, and do away with anger. But what is anger? Condition arising mind state, actually part of the thought. So when you understand that these are condition arising mind state, part of the thought, why can't you just silent, aware, and be with it, and see what happens? Then the observer and the observed become one, and there exists. Then there is nothing. It's in fact the thought. Can you follow that? That's why when you don't understand, oh, you Krishnamurti don't know what he's trying to tell us. Observer, got observer, someone got observer. Then observer is the observer. Oh, you become very confused by what they say. But when you penetrate, you understand, you realize he is so wise. He has done it because he has his past as well. But he cannot teach like the Buddha because he teach from the true mind as well. Where he has realized. That's why he understands all this. His teaching is for the modern world, understand not? Using modern words and language. But he don't have the Dhamma, like the Buddha, the prototype. He use new words that he need to create. And to him, all the other thing is not important. Because he, from the true mind, he speaks. So he can understand what he tried to tell you, but living being, very few can understand him. So because of that is a problem. So the answer is very straightforward. Okay? Sitting meditation, silent meditation, 静坐, is a part of 禅修. Understand? So 静坐 is just formal meditation. 禅修 is whatever mindfulness training or contemplation or whatever that can bring about wisdom to insight into the reality of life and existence, the three universal characteristics that can awaken you from security, self-delusion, and break the fetters. And that is 禅修. You can approach from any direction, any method, any technique, any whatever training. So 禅修 is very wide. But without sati, without heedfulness, you cannot do 禅修. You cannot cultivate the Dhamma, the meditation. Okay? So the first question answer.
The second question is a little bit long.
Never mind. Read.
Ready? Okay. 我每次静坐时都没有什么特别的状况，偶尔思绪会漂浮，不过一下子就被拉回来。已静坐将近七八次了，情况都是一样，是不是还不达标？ 要讲 peaceful mind 也没有，可否给个例子，初学者静坐时会出现的影像？
Very good. The question is very good. Those who don't know Mandarin, you'll find it difficult to understand. But luckily, Mi Feng helped me to translate. So I read this English translation. I think it's quite near, quite accurate. He said, every time when I sit down to meditate, there is no special experience. Then sometimes, there is this restless mind. The restless mind, the restless thought, they will arise. But I was able to bring it back. Because she is more aware now. The moment the mind, the mundane mind, thinking mind is lost in thought, through awareness you bring it back. You maintain awareness on the object of meditation to anchor it. Understand? Otherwise you cannot. The mind will continue to be heedless. Then he said, it is always like that. He said, I heard the word seven times. Is that he has done it? He has done it seven, eight times.
Seven, eight times is the same.
But you didn't translate
that part.
He said it's always like that. He has done it seven, eight times. He's not inside here. But just now I heard the Mandarin. Then the question is, am I doing it correctly? There is no peace. Sorry, there is no peaceful mind state too, because she couldn't develop the peace and the calmness. Can Brazil share some common experience of beginners? Okay, very good question. You see, until now, it's not easy for you to get the understanding of what meditation is. That's why I say you meditate without understanding, then all these questions will come out. From the question, you realize what happened or not? To her, she thinks the mind that is calm and peaceful is important, which is not wrong. But why do you want to look for calmness and peace when you don't even understand what you are doing? I already explained many, many times. You listen again. You need to cultivate the spiritual faculty. Are you cultivating the spiritual faculty? That's why you have to work on your sadha, virya. How do you work on it? The faith comes from understanding who the Buddha is. That's why the chanting book, the Dhamma book, they help. You must reflect and contemplate who the Buddha is. He is the fully enlightened one, not only enlightened. No. He is like the wisest and the most virtuous teacher ever to be born during his time in India. To have such a great being to be your teacher, you must have a lot of gratitude and faith in him, and you should count your blessing. That's why your faith becomes very strong. Then when you understand that his teaching is so beautiful, can bring about great transformation in you, enlightenment in you, free from all suffering, the mind can become heedful, peaceful, just like what I wrote in the Heart Sutta book, the trade mind. Then why are you still waiting? Asana. Then you should determine with the faith that this is what you want. Then the virya, the spiritual zeal to walk this path, at the even expand of your life, you will walk. You will not procrastinate away. So if you do that, then it will drive you to cultivate sati and asana. But when your sadha and virya are not strong, that's why your sati cannot develop. Sati you can develop it through either bowing. If you find that your sitting got this problem, restlessness of thought come, then after that you can bring it back, which is a good sign. Asana. You say, can I give example of a beginner? Yours is a very good example. But you are slightly better than beginner. We are lost in thought, you are aware, you can bring it back very fast. But like you say, you have done it 7-8 times, the result is still the same, it's still like that. You hardly find any peace. Your problem is because you want to look for peace. Whatever you want cannot come because the thought has a craving. Peace can only arise when there is no craving. When you just let things be. That's why I say, just silent. Don't allow the thought to come in. Just like what happened to Pang. Just now he reported, remember? I forgot already. What was it he reported? Yeah, I know. What was it? Correct. Not only unwholesome thought, there's another thing. There's another part that you reported. Your calmness, the mindfulness, you want it to be stable. That thought is a craving. He said the mindfulness, he can do it already, but it cannot last. That is the craving of the mind. Understand? So it's the same. You want peace, you cannot get peace. So this is a very important understanding. The thought is very powerful. That's why I say when you meditate, don't try to know, don't try to question. Just develop the understanding of what is meditation and what are the things you have to do. Write it down. Understand? That is pariyatti. Understand the teaching, the essential Dhamma. Then like I said, the five hindrance give you problem. Don't control, don't suppress, don't do anything, but go and develop the spiritual faculty. So meditation is develop spiritual faculty. Have you done it? Sadha virya not done, sati not done, then you slowly do. Understand not? After sadha virya done, like what I explained, then you tell yourself, how can I now go all out to determine to be aware? To be aware, I only need to silence my mind. Why am I not silent? The hindrances are there. The spiritual faculty are not powerful. Then you listen. If you need to do the mind sweeping method to decondition the heedless thinking and make it peaceful, do it. Understand not? If you need to combine with metta like my instruction on every Thursday class, do it. Understand not? So that inner peace and inner well-being come in first. And then only think of stabilizing it using anapanasati or any of this technique and training. If you can't even overcome the hindrance through the mind-sweeping method and metta, it's very difficult for you to proceed. That's why you keep on trying 7-8 times. Not only 7-8 times, 70 times, 80 times also same, I tell you. Because you are trying to do something that is impossible. You have craving, is number one, for the peace to be longer. Understand not? That's why when you meditate, don't try to know anything, don't expect anything. Just do, diligently, sincerely do, have faith. So focus on the spiritual faculty, faith, sadha, virya. Then after that, determine to be mindful. To be mindful, you just need to silence. Why are you not able to do that? Because the hindrance are there. So, recall what I say. It's even in the Heart Sutta. You do the mind sweeping method. Mind sweeping method, you just feel and relax. You don't think anymore. You know? That's why the heedless thinking will be deconditioned. Then, slowly, slowly, no more thinking. The other understanding is, you know what is momentum in that. Yeah? When I spin this, yeah? The momentum, yeah? You no need to put in any more effort, no. The thought will continue to think anasara and become heedless anasara. But the moment you stop it, you develop awareness, you stop the thinking, like you do the mind sweeping method, you feel, then you relax. What happened? After it has stopped, you realize to start thinking again, you have to build up a momentum, anasara. And it's more difficult to start, anasara. But once it starts, you cannot stop, anasara. Because that momentum will carry through. The heedlessness, the habitual tendency will carry through. So my sweeping method is to put a stop to this momentum, this heedless thinking. That's why after that, to start thinking, it takes a while, anasara. But it needs momentum to start. Then the other advantage of mind sweeping method is you train your mind to be at the location you want. Anasara. You want it to be at the forehead, it stay there. You want it to be at the heart, it stay there. And this will help you in your mindfulness. Then later on, wherever you want to locate your mind, you can locate. That's why mind sweeping method is a very important skillful means. So now, can follow, huh? Whoever asked this question, make a note. Huh? Okay, I think I answered the question already. Huh? No more.
No, there are 8 questions.
No, oh, I know. I know. Question number 2 I answered. Okay, continue. The third one is that?
The third one. 我平时都很忙, 没时间静坐. 如何将静坐放在日常生活中呢?
Very good question. So the question is, I read the English translation. Mi Fong translate it very well. Huh? My daily life is very busy. Is it? I got no time to meditate. Please advise as how to cultivate meditation in daily life. I already told you that you don't understand the domain of meditation. Then you say, I very busy. I got no time to meditate. Meditate need time. Do you need time to meditate? You're talking about formal meditation, understand? Like coming to retreat. But the real meditation is daily mindfulness. Life itself is the meditation. When you are mindful, heedful, that is meditation. That's why the domain of meditation, the Buddha said, meditation can be done in any posture, any time, any place. That's why in the Sutta, the Satipatthana Sutta, page 101, you go and check. The 4 posture, you can meditate. Then Sati Sampajana, everything that you do to connect up the 4 posture in daily life, you can meditate. Then why you say you got no time? Because you choose to be heedless during your working hour. You can work and be mindful. That was what I did when I was going through the cultivation. When I developed that cultivation seriously from 1986 to 89, for 3 years, I was working as an engineer and my job scope responsibility was very heavy. And yet I do it. I was having a family. And I got 2 children. How come I can still do it? I did my daily mindfulness because I had my religious routine. You listen, huh? How you can do it? Have a good religious routine. Early morning when you wake up, pay respect, triple jam. Do a bit of chanting. Puja, then do a bit of sitting. Yeah? You can read it, loving kindness or mind supreme method, then silence your mind. Then towards the end of the day before you sleep, find time so that you can sleep better. Understand that? Then after that, in between, whenever you are free, yeah? Again do that puja. That puja is to develop faith, sadha, virya, and sati, and understanding. Then in between, whatever you do, just aware, understand? Aware means what? body and mind as one, attentive. Don't be all over. If you check your life, I can tell you, you think a lot. You think ahead, and that thought condition you to do thing now. As you do, you think again. You are never with the moment. With the moment is what? Meditation is to slow down your thought, no. Not to slow down your action, no. That's why a lot of you all go to the retreat and do all those, what they call mindfulness meditation. I always put inverted comma. You slow everything down. And the analogy they give is very logical, no. Well, I heard one nun explain. He said, mindfulness, daily mindfulness, is there. He said, like the fan. When it moves too fast, you cannot see how many blades not clear. But when you slow it down, or he said you can see all the blades, there is clarity. You agree or not? This is mindfulness according to her. Slow everything down so that you can see. You agree or not? Very logical, isn't it? You will actually, initially, if nobody explains, you will agree. Oh yeah, no wonder they slow down. But if you inquire into it, then what happens? Life is not like that one. No. Life is not everything also slow down. No. You go to office, you do standing, walk. Your boss will give you a love letter straight away. Understand? How can you live life like that? You go and do it in the retreat. You think that is meditation. I wish you luck. You go and do. Not to say I try to command. Life itself is the real meditation. And life, you do things at the normal speed. And mindfulness can be at the normal speed. No matter how fast. Faster than the fan also, the mindfulness is there. I told you the TV is so fast. Because the pixel and the color and all those images, they change. And there is no word one when I saw. Wow, how come like that one? I say, because for that few days when my mind transformed the time, it's just silent. And everything is like, there's a truth is everywhere. Why can't you see? In the midst of nature and life, the characteristics of nature is everywhere. That's why I saw everywhere. Then even until today, every moment, every instant, the characteristics are there. Why can't you see? For those who see, they always see. That's why I say, your mundane mind clouds you. That's why you never see. You are too busy thinking, planning, and worrying about life. So much so, you never with the moment, silent to experience and live life. Understand? It's in the seminar paper. So you have to read and understand. Then slowly straighten your view. Understand not? It can be done. Start with your household activity first. Understand not? When you wake up, straight away aware, body on the bed. Understand not? Then what happened next? Most people, the bladder will call. Understand not? Then you want to go to the toilet. And most people, they don't even know how they arise on the bed, how they walk, and how they open the door. They only excited, sit on the thing and release. Then, but were you mindful at all? That's why when I did that training, it was different. The first thing I want to be aware is my body posture. Then, pay respect, triple jam. But if bladder call means what? Tactile consciousness, that is the cause. Understand not? So tactile consciousness condition your mind to go toilet straight away. Understand not? Where got intending to wake up, intending to bend, intending to stand, intending to walk? Where got this thing on the mind? Understand not? The bladder call, you just go in automatic. But when you aware, the awareness is there. Aware. That's why the Buddha said, lying down, aware. Standing, aware. Then how you come out? Aware, fully aware. Then how you turn, how you move, how your hand go to the toilet door, push it open, you're fully aware. Then your thought doesn't proliferate. Otherwise your thought, as you go and do the business, office, or what time, meeting, all over. Then when you brush your teeth also, the thought is still going on. You are not with the movement, you are not with the activity. That's why you cannot slow down your thought. You go and slow down your action for what? Meditation is to slow down the heedless thinking, decondition it. And nobody can see that, and nobody can tell you that. And you continue to be gullible and do all those style of meditation. That's why daily mindfulness, I find that hardly anybody can do. They always tell me, relative after retreat, really, like what you say, maximum 3 weeks, the peace is gone. The old habit come back. The fear, the greed, the anger, the emotion, the reaction all come back. How come like that? Meditate so long, never change. I say, you ask yourself. Why ask me? Because I don't teach like that. I teach with understanding. You meditate with understanding. Okay? I think we stop at 3 because now lunchtime, huh? Oh, very good, huh? That's why you must write question. We rejoice with the person who asked and Mifong, who helped to translate. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. That's why you must ask, then I can answer and you can have clearer understanding. Okay? This person will be a Chinese educator. Thank you so much for your question. Can. Use the mic. Yeah, Alicia, yes.
Hello. Brother Joe, I just want to ask just now the question, can we apply the, like you say, Sen Zai Na Li, Xin Zai Na
Li? Yes, can. This Sen Yan Fa Si, Fa Gu San, he tell the student, he said, what is meditation? Chan Siu. 16 words, he said. Sen zai na li, xin zai na li. Fang song, chuan ti fang song. You know the meaning or not? Wherever your body is, your mind follow. Means awareness follow. Then relax. Completely relax. The whole of your being, form and mind, relax. And this is what I've been telling you. Relax. The first support is relax. That's why those Zen masters who already awakened, they understand. And when your mind is not with your form, anchor is not in the moment. It's lost in thought, either past or future, thinking. Heedless, understand not? Now you understand, huh? Now you laugh, huh? Last time you do without understanding that time, cannot be love, right? A lot of people tell me, you know, you mean they are monk, they don't know. Oh, I say, I don't know, you ask them. This is not a criticism, understand? This is what has been taught has been like that for so long. And for me, it's very simple. Because I just want to share with you my understanding. I'm not commenting on what. You all go and find out yourself. What are you doing? Understand? So when you understand, then the doing becomes so simple. The cultivation becomes so simple. There's nothing complicated about the Buddha's teaching. Anybody can develop the understanding. Hui Ning, uneducated, also can become enlightened. You don't need education. You don't need intellect. You need a simple mind. Have faith. That's it. Okay. Now we break for lunch. Thank you so much. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay.
Where you have all your scarf and your water bottle and all that, can you please put it all on the on the table here, so that those people who wants to put their cushions and all the can put it very nicely on the bench, so that those who clean up is easier for them.